All right. Last week, I'd originally intended on preaching all six of these verses, but as you are probably grateful for, I only preached on three last week. And we'll do the other three this morning because I believe they all tie together as Jesus is weaving through this great, great Sermon on the Mount. And chapter 6 talks about like our Christian desires, and then he moves into our Christian devotions, and then our Christian disciplines. And then we learn these things, we read the Word and all that, but then there comes a time you make a choice to actually do something. You're going to make a choice as to what you're going to follow, what you're going to do, who you're going to worship ultimately. And in this passage, in these six verses, he's given us three things. And one is that there are choices to be made. You know, you don't accept the Lord as your Savior, you get saved and all that. And that is a choice, by the way. You made a decision, hopefully, one day, that you were going to believe in what Jesus did on the cross, that was God's perfect sacrifice for your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. And you made that choice to make him your Lord and Savior and ask him to forgive you and then move forward, hopefully. And that's what this is about. It's about moving forward, because the whole Sermon on the Mount starts off with, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, until you humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness, you're not going to have a part in the kingdom of heaven. You got to come to a place where you humble yourself and say, you know what, I used to think I was a good person, but I'm really not. And I'm really in need of a Savior. And that's where it starts. And then he weaves through this whole Sermon on the Mount. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And we get to this place. He's talking about prayer and fasting and all these things. Now he's bringing it to this particular spot, and he's saying there's choices to be made. And now today we're going to get into why we make the choices we make, followed up by where those choices ultimately lead us. In other words, who we're going to really worship and what our choices reveal, because actually our choices, who we worship, is revealed by the choices we make. And that's what all this is about in these six verses. And so we have, 19 through 21, which I did last week, but I want to kind of recap and so that it will flow in its order. The choice of your love. And it talks about lay not your treasures upon the earth where it can be corrupted, but lay up treasures in heaven where it can't be corrupted. And it says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So whatever it is that you've made your treasure, if it's the things of this world, then that's what your heart's going to follow. If it's the things in heaven, then that's what your heart's going to follow. And that's what the Bible says. And I know there's people say, well, you know, I work on my treasures here and, you know, I work on my treasures there, but there's only one you're going to follow. And that's what we're going to look at today. But just so that it's clear, I'm going to use a couple of verses that I saw that I used last week. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above. You set your affection. You're the one that chooses where your affections are, the things that you love, the things that you're going to spend your energy and your time and your talents on. You set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what we did last week. And so that leads us in as we go to the next verses, which is the choice of your light. You made the choice of your love. And why you made that choice, it's the choice of your light is what drove that. And we're going to see what that means. Verses 22 and 23. And he says, in 22, the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. And that word single, and I've got the words in your outline there. I've got them there, the Greek word, and then the definition of those words. But hapless, which means single or simple. You know, Satan and the world, they try to make things complicated. God actually makes things very simple. Just seek me. That's what Jesus said. You know, follow me. And the world says, you got to do this and this and this. And if you do all this, you'll be, you know, you'll get this and this. And, you know, and it's very, very complicated. So God is encouraging us, have a single point of focus. Keep your eye on God. You know, and people say, well, I wonder if this is wrong or that's wrong, or, you know, what I can do or not do. And they ask a lot of questions like that. But really, the simple way of figuring it out is, would God be pleased if I did that? Would God be pleased if I said that to that person? Would he be happy? Or would he be like, not pleased with me if I did that? And you know what? When you look at things that way, all of a sudden it gets real simple. You don't have to worry about, you know, how far the line is or where the line is or whatever. It's, you're looking to please God and God alone. And singleness of purpose keeps us from a trap as Christians, because we are susceptible to this trap. And that is to try and have both treasures. What does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't seek both. And it keeps us from the trap of trying to have both treasures, which what happens when you have both, when you're seeking treasures of this world and treasures above? You have a divided heart. You have a divided heart. You're not wholeheartedly. You know, what does the Bible say? Seek the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So, you know, it's talking about a whole heart, a single focus. And it gets very complicated if you're trying to live in two worlds. And if you try to do that, you will work really hard and accomplish very little for God. So the single eye, he says, the light of the eye, light of the body is the eye. And if your eye be single, if your eye be focused, if your eye be turned towards God, your whole body shall be full of light. Shall be full of light. And then he says, he gives us the opposite. He says, but if your eye is evil. So we have the single eye, okay, and the sinful eye. If your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, there's a couple of different words in the Bible for evil that it's translated evil, but they mean somewhat different things. In this verse here, evil is that word paneros, which is evil that causes labor, pain, sorrow. Okay. Now there's another word for evil, kakos, wickedness, depravity, what we typically think of as evil, somebody wicked, somebody depraved, evil character. Okay. That, and so kakos actually also includes paneros. Paneros is a little more specific. But what Jesus is telling us here is that usually the evil, you know, somebody just doesn't wake up one day and they're like totally evil. It starts small. It starts with the wrong treasure. It starts with wrong priorities. And maybe they're still kind of a good person. They still got a conscience and all that. But then as they go further down that road, it grows. I think a lot of times, the political scene. I think a lot of people go into politics with a halfway decent motive. You know, I mean, they think they're going to do good or whatever. But then they get in there, and there's all those forces at work to bribe or to, you know, you can get ahead by doing this and this. And then in the end, some of these people, they're just full-blown evil. I mean, and you see the decisions that are being made. And it's just straight up evil. And so what happens is you start off with Paneros. It's evil that causes labor, pain, and sorrow. You know, they start making decisions that cause people some pain, some sorrow. Make you work harder for the same thing, so to speak. But then it grows, and it becomes a malignant evil that renders itself worthless in both a physical and a moral sense. And we see it happened. It has happened. You know, we keep saying the country's going downhill. The country is downhill. Just call it what it is. Horrible, horrible decisions being made on high levels that fly in the face of the Word of God. It's just straight up against the Bible. And so that word darkness, okay, says your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eye is looking towards those things, your body will be full of darkness. And that word darkness is talking about moral and spiritual darkness. And that's what we see. Because it doesn't stop at those things that you're doing. You know, it's just like they say, oh, well, you know, what he does on his private life, that has nothing to do with being a good president or a good governor or a good whatever, right? They say, that's his personal life. That shouldn't matter. But you know what? The things that are in your personal life, you're still that person. Now, I'm sorry, you know, if you're cheating on your wife, what makes me think you're not going to cheat on me as a constituent? What makes me think you're not going to treat me right? You're not treating your wife right or your husband right. And so, you know, darkness, it's moral, it's talking moral and spiritual. It's talking about evil powers that dominate the world. That's what this is. And it says, if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And this is the same word that Jesus used in this verse in Luke. And this is when Jesus was arrested and they're accusing him of things. And he says, when I was daily with you in the temple, you didn't reach out against me. You didn't arrest me. He says, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And what was that darkness? They killed him. They rose up against him and killed him. I mean, through Rome, through crucifixion. But they killed him. And that was that hour. You know, Satan thought he won. When he got Christ on the cross, Satan was singing a victory dance. I don't know, how do you sing a dance? But anyway, he was singing a victory song and dancing. He thought he had won. The battle was over. And yet, 3 days later, Satan was defeated. On the third day, Christ rose in victory over sin and death. And the battle was over. The war was won. Now, you know, the war is over, but there's still skirmishes, right? Satan's still doing his thing. And he will get his one day. But that word, light, because we're choosing the light, folks. You're choosing what light you have. It's light. That word light is as seen by the eye reaching into the soul. You know, it's not just seen. You know, sometimes you just see something. You know, I can just look over and see that tapestry or whatever that is there. I could just see it. But if I actually look at it and read it, it reaches into your soul. His light shines through you. And if you stop and ponder that a little bit, if you're a believer, what are people seeing when they see me? If His light is His light shining through me, or am I so messed up that hardly anybody can tell? You know, that's the thing. How much light can get through me? Is there so much of me in the way that Jesus can't be seen? And so that's the light that's coming into your eye. That's what this is talking about. It's not just seeing. It's how you're responding. And it goes into your heart or your soul. And that's why I have those three words there on your outline. It says emotions, intellect, and will. Because that's what your soul is. That's what your soul is. Your emotions, your intellect, and your will. And so what happens is we have a spiritual side. When you accept the Lord, when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your spirit comes alive. You are born again. You have a spirit, and that spirit is good. And it's trying to influence you. The Holy Spirit is interweaving with your spirit. And He's influencing your spirit. And your spirit wants to do what the Lord would have you do. That's what your spirit wants to do. But your spirit then interfaces with the soul. That's your emotions, your will, your intellect, your knowledge. At the same time, our enemy is our flesh. The flesh has its desires. The flesh wants the easy way out. The flesh wants pleasure. The flesh wants power and pride and money, or whatever it might be, you know, for our own selfish purposes. And so we have that battle that Paul talked about. You know, he said, "Oh, rich, wretched man that I am. You know, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do." And why is that? We all have that battle. And if you're born again, you know what that battle is, because you fight it every day. It's there. So here's the thing. You got the sinful eye, you got the single eye. And you have the capability of choosing one. And what it is, it's that battle between good and evil. It's the battle that's raging in this world today. And in your emotions, because we're going to pick this apart, emotions, intellect, and will. In your emotions, if your eye is single, if your eye is focused on the Lord, you will be inclined to goodness and love. That'll be your emotions. You're going to have the emotion of love. You're going to have sympathy and empathy for people. But if your eye is evil, if you're looking towards the things of the world, you'll be inclined to what? Covetousness. You'll be inclined to hardness and selfishness. That's where our emotions get involved. Our intellect, you know, if we're inclined towards the Lord, if we're looking towards Him, your intellect will be true and right judgments. Truth is going to matter to you. Has it ever, all this junk that's on TV and all the stuff people are saying, has it ever occurred to you that truth don't matter much to these people? You know, but it matters a lot to me. And, you know, our world is hungering for truth. Truth and right judgments. But if your eye is looking out towards the world and those things, it's going to be corrupt and evil judgments. I mean, look, when somebody gets sick, if it's, you know, if you know, just like when Trump got coronavirus, look at all the people that just said, "Oh, I hope he dies." Now, you know what? There's a lot of people that I don't agree with in politics, and if they got coronavirus, I don't hope they die. You know? Really? But it's a corrupt mindset. It's an evil mindset. And that they're thinking. And they're calling good evil and evil good. What does the Bible says? What? Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And that's what they're doing right now. You know, if you're pro-life, you're evil. But if you're pro-abortion, you're good. That's the mindset of our nation right now. Not everybody in it, but a whole lot calling evil good and good evil. Why? Because I need to be able to sacrifice this baby on the altar of convenience. It is not convenient for me to be pregnant right now. I got to go to school. Well, you should have thought about that before you went to bed. That's where you made your choice. You don't make your choice after you're pregnant. You make your choice not to get pregnant. You make your choice to do what God says in His Word, which is get married and have children. But the world tries to circumvent these things. And it's evil, for calling good evil and evil good. And so, young people, a lot of them, you know, if they're trying to maintain their virginity, they're made fun of. They're called, you know, "You're stupid. Well, what are you doing, you know? You're old-fashioned." And nobody says anything about all the people just doing whatever they want, and then the whole country pays the price for it. Then comes the will. Actions, because what happens is what? You got your intellect, you're gaining knowledge, you got your emotions involved, this is what I feel, and then you will make a choice, and where that occurs is in your will. That's your will. It's actions that if your eye is single, if your eye, you know, if your purpose is serving, honoring God, glorifying God, your actions will be set on glorifying and honoring God. And that's why I say, you know, before you get ready to do something, just ask yourself, would God be pleased if I did this? And you know what? I have not found many times, if any, that I didn't know the answer to that pretty quick. The reason we have a hard time answering that is because it's our flesh is saying, well, it's not that bad. It's really kind of fun. It doesn't hurt anybody. But that's not the question, does it hurt anybody? The question is, would God be pleased? And when you ask that, the answer gets really clear really fast. And then you make a choice. Your will kicks in. And you're either going to have an action that glorifies and honors God and seeks His favor. You know, whose favor are you seeking? So you're seeking His favor. Or if your eyes, if you got the evil eye, the eye that's out there on the world, the sinful eye, your actions will be set on glorifying and honoring yourself and seeking the applause of men. The adoration, the acceptance by your fellow people that you hang with or whatever. You want to be accepted by them. Do you want to be accepted by God or by those that you're with? Hopefully both. Hopefully you're with people that would honor that. But we know that's not always true. It's not all the people we're with. So why do we, you know, there are choices to be made. And why do we make the choices we make? Because we either got a single eye or a selfish eye, a sinful eye. One or the other. You can't have both. You can't be focused on God and focused on something else at the same time. And that is all about the soul. The light he's talking about is the light that goes right into your soul. And what goes on in your soul will determine the choice you make. I hope this is making sense. I really wanted you to understand this. And that's why he says, he follows that up with, therefore, if the light that's coming in, going into your soul, is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, if you've believed a lie and you're operating in that, you know, because that's how Satan operates, right? Deception. What's deception? Believe in a lie. Somebody tells you 2 + 2 = 5 and you believe that, you're going to go through your whole life flunking math tests. Okay? Because you believed a lie. Hey, you're sincere. You really believe it adds up to 5. I know that's a stupid, simplistic illustration, but you know, it's just, as long as you believe that, you will never pass a test. You will never get ahead. And that's what Satan does. He gets you to believe a lie. And you know, and people sincerely believe a lot of different things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I'm sorry, it may sound good and it may sound right, but in the end, you're wrong. And how sad for someone to go in a direction their whole life, maybe 40, 50, 60 years or whatever, and when they get to the end of that, they found out they were believing a lie. How tragic that is. That's why it is so important for us to share truth. The truth of God's forgiveness, the truth of God's Word is so important. And people need truth now more than ever. And who else is there to give truth than the church? And that's what's so disturbing to me these days, is so many churches are dropping away from the truth and they're buying into the stuff of the culture rather than standing firm in the truth. It is so important that we stand firm in the truth. So important. Because it all leads to this, the choice of your Lord/Lord. The only question is your Lord have a big L, the true Lord, the one God, the one true God? Or is it your Lord, or is your Lord something else, you know, with a little L? Someone you've made your Lord. An idol. You know, we don't typically, I mean, there are still idol worshipers. I mean, you know, Buddha, you know, is an idol. You go on the Indian reservations. I've been there. They call them fetishes. They're idols. And there's a lot of power in those things. There's a lot of demonic activity in those things. It's real. I've walked into places on the res, and I mean, I would walk in and feel the oppression immediately. It is as real can be. There are those kind of idols, but you know what? In our country, we've kind of glossed over idols, and you know, we can make idols of sports teams or TV celebrities or singers or, you know, what name it. I mean, anything can be an idol. But in the end, the choice of your Lord is what's hanging in the balance. And he says this. Isn't it interesting? He says, don't lay up treasures on earth or, you know, where it can be corrupted, but lay treasures up in heaven because, you know what? Have your eye be focused on God. The light of your eye ought to be single. You'll be full of light. You'll be full of goodness. You'll have positive impact on the world. But if your eye is evil, no, you're going to be full of darkness and how great that darkness will be. And then he says, look, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. And that word masters means Lord, master, owner. You know, you are owned by somebody. Everybody is. It means one who exercises power and authority. Let me ask you, who or what exercises power and authority in your life? That's a question. Now, we can say God, yeah, but what do our actions reveal? What do our actions, because it's the actions that reveal who our Lord is. Because it's easy to say it. Okay, doing it is another thing. This is a challenging passage in Scripture, folks. It's causing us to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. And that word, it says to serve. No man can serve two masters. That word serve comes from the word dulio, or however you pronounce that thing, which means to serve as a slave. You understand, before you knew Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you were a slave to your sin. You had nowhere to go but hell. It was the only place for you and me, everyone else. And you are a slave to that. And then when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He set you free from your sin. But now you're supposed to be a slave to Christ. Supposed to be. I mean, you read the books that Paul wrote, many of them start with Paul, a bondservant of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, bondservant means slave. To serve as a slave. It says, no man can serve two masters, because he's going to hate one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Gain. A lot of people say it means money. Well, it means money, but it means more than money. It's gain. It's talking about, yes, money, but it's also talking about power, position. Now, you can gain in that way, too. Pride. It's a lot of things. And here's the thing. You know, you may say, well, I'm going to serve both. And you know what? If two masters are actually going in the same path, you can follow them both. But you know what? Eventually, they reveal themselves. You know, in this country, for a lot of years, you could be in the church and you could be in every facet of society and you could pretty much just flow. But look what our society has done. Now it's going this way, isn't it? It's going way over here. Now how are you going to do both? A lot of Christians for a lot of years trying to have a foot in the world and a foot in the church. Spirituality, I'm going to spiritual here, but you know, I'm still in the world. You know, I'm still doing, having some fun over here, you know, whatever. And but you know, but I'm still, you know, but now the world, you know, world's getting further. And I don't bend that way. And eventually the gap gets so wide, you have to make a choice. It's going to get so wide that you're either going to jump on this side or you're going to jump on this side. It's one or the other. There's no middle. And when those masters separate, it reveals, because see, you already were following one. You were just playing the game, trying to make people think you were one or the other. But eventually, when those masters separate, where you go, which way you go, reveals who your true master is. It reveals the one to which you belong. And you know what? You will love one and you will hate the other. You will hold on to one and you will despise the other. And look what's happening in our culture now. The church is despised. Oh, yeah. Strip clubs are essential, but churches can't meet. Come on. You see what the world's doing? We're despised. We're involved in hate speech. When in fact, Jesus is love. But they're calling good evil and evil good. I mean, it all fits, doesn't it? It's all interwoven. So whatever is of the world is mammon. What is the world? Well, Jesus is, it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That is mammon. Sensual, secular self is the mammon which cannot be served in conjunction with God. Sensual, secular self is the mammon which cannot be served in conjunction with God. You know, John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. Every one of us should be thinking like that. More of him, less of me. Cannot serve God and mammon. You know, Jesus does not say we must not serve God and mammon, or we should not. He says we cannot. And a lot of people fool themselves into thinking they can. But Jesus flat says it. You cannot serve God and mammon. Why did Jesus say, if you want to follow me, because that's what this is. Choose who your Lord is. Choose who you're going to serve. Choose who you're going to follow. He says, you cannot follow me unless you die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. It's the only way. Strong words. You know, did you ever read, you know, when you read, and we will be when we get that far into Matthew, because we're going through this whole book. But how many times did he would pull out another hard saying and then a whole bunch of people left? Man, your words are hard. Yeah, they are. Because it means die to self. And that's hard for us. I don't care how compliant you are. Everybody wants it their way. Some are just more vocal about it than others. Some are more compliant than others. But everybody wants it their way. That's just the way we are. We are born selfish. And we stay selfish our whole lives. I mean, just be truthful. You know, I try to serve, and I'm a believer and all that. But you know what? I still want things my way. I do. Especially on the golf course. But these are the choices. You know, all these things. You know, he's talking about, you know, all, he's building up to this. You know, be salt, be light. You know, don't be angry. You know, if you're angry, it's just like murder. You know, and all these things, you know, about taking oaths and getting even with your enemies and all these things. And then he moves into prayer and serving and fasting. And then he talks about where your treasure is and what you're looking for. And then he just sums it up right here. And he says, you know what? There's only two ways to go. And you're going to have to make that choice. And every single day we choose who we're going to follow that day. And I have to admit, some days I follow me. I do things my way sometimes. And then sometimes I'm, you know, a little more spiritual and really trying to please God. It is a battle. It is a battle that we all face. We all make choices, folks. You know, if you do not make a choice, you made a choice. Think about it. I witnessed to someone the other day, and I said, "What about Jesus?" And the response was, "Well, I'm not ready to talk about that." Well, that person made a choice right there. Now, maybe in their mind, they haven't made a choice, but in not making a choice, you made a choice. And we do this every day. All of us do. Every day, we make choices. It starts with salvation. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the best first choice you can make. Okay? You ask Jesus Christ into your heart. You ask for forgiveness based on what He did on the cross. And you know what? Once saved, we are no longer a slave to sin. What a marvelous thing that is. You know, Jesus said what? If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free from what? Free from the punishment of sin. Free from the bondage of sin. You actually, you know, before you were saved, you could not help but sin. Do you understand that? But after you were saved, after you accept Christ as your Savior, you actually make choices. You actually have the power to choose to do right, to choose to follow God, to choose to read His Word and then apply what is in this Word to your life, that it would be well with you. Maybe not in this world, but definitely in the next. You know, Jesus didn't exactly have a soft life. And He definitely didn't have a soft death. But it starts with salvation. And once you're saved, realize you are no longer a slave. You do not have to keep making the same choices that you made before. We can now actually choose the treasure which our heart will follow. You can choose the treasure that's above or the treasure that is of the earth. Now look, you know, don't go like totally off the deep end. I understand we got to work for a living and, you know, and we got responsibilities and, you know, God, work is good. You know, listen, God created work, okay? And it's good. and we should do that. But that's not where my treasure is. I work so I can live, so I can survive, so I can serve God in this life that I have right now. But my treasure, you know, what happens at my work has nothing to do with heaven. I mean, it does in a sense, but that's my way of living. And I don't have all my eggs in that basket. My faith is in the Lord, and He will take care of me. The job just enabled me to serve God. And I praise Him for it. The job that I had for 34 years enabled me to go on mission trips and go to New Mexico, serve 6 years there, you know, doing different things. And all the time I worked. But that wasn't where my treasure was. That was just the means that God gave me to serve Him at that time. We get to choose. We choose the treasure which our heart will follow. And that's what the Bible says. Whatever it is that your treasure, that's where your heart will be. You know, if being here to worship God is part of your treasure, you'll be here. I mean, I get it. Sometimes there's vacations. Sometimes you're sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, every Sunday I want to be here. Sometimes I got other things going. And I'm not here. And I get someone to preach in my place. I mean, that's part of life. But you know what? All things being equal, I'm here. Because that's where my treasure is. That's where my heart is. But I remember there was a time after I got saved. I still went to church, but you know what? If there was a good football game on, I didn't go. Because I made choices. And I was still choosing earthly stuff. Stuff that I wanted to do. Selfish stuff. And I thought I was really giving it all for God when I missed a football game. How stupid was that? But, you know, you grow, hopefully. You know, hopefully you grow. And, you know, God works on your priorities and your convictions and things like that. But when you choose your treasure, that leads to choosing the light you're filled with. Because when you say, I'm going to seek after the things of the world, well, then your eyes are going to be focused in that direction. So we have to ask our question, is our eye focused on God or me? Because in the end, that's what it really is. It's my selfish desires. So am I focused on Him or myself? On what He wants or what I want. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, God's sovereign, you know, He's the best, but I still want to do this. Throughout this chapter, Jesus commands us not to be like the hypocrites. You know, what did He say? He says, don't be like the hypocrites when you serve other people. Don't be like the hypocrites pray. Don't fast like the hypocrites do. He's going through all that. Talking about the hypocrites. As Christians, we must take heed of hypocrisy and worldly mindedness in choosing the master we serve. You know, how is it that we can say we love God and we serve God? He's my God, He's my Lord. And yet we don't trust Him. We don't trust Him in our finances. We don't trust Him in our relationships. We don't trust Him in choices of career. I've had a lot of people come and say, not a lot of people, but some people over the years say, you know, I got this job opportunity. What do you think? It's a really good job. I think I'm going to move. And I'm like, well, did you ask God? No. I mean, we say He's Lord, but is it not hypocrisy if we say He's Lord and then we make all these decisions on our own? Is that not hypocrisy? You know, it's like a guy, you know, it's like two people going somewhere. One person's on the road and he's going down the road and he can see the destination and he's going towards it. You know, and if you're like that, that is awesome. But you know what? I have found that I'm kind of like, a lot of times, I mean, listen, I'm not any different than you are. You know, I fight the same battles you do. But sometimes I feel like I'm the guy rowing the boat. I'm going this way, but I'm looking this way. You know, when you row a boat, right? Going this way, looking that way. You know, there's a song that I like. One of the lines is, I'm holding hands with heaven, but I'm making eyes at hell. You ever heard that song? I thought you knew them all, Kathy. It's a good song. Because it's a guy, there's a whole bunch of lines like that where he's a Christian, but he's battling all these selfish desires. That's really what the song's about. We got to be careful. You know, what did Jesus say? Many will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Bottom line, this is Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Wrap it up. It says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. You know, we would not use that term. But you know what? If God says do something and you don't want to do it and you do this, are you not saying it's evil to serve Him? Are we not saying that? Come on, think about it. God says do this. God says go witness to that person. And He says it in your mind just as clear as if somebody spoke it to you. I need to go that, but oh, I'm too scared, or I don't know what this, I'm not going to do it. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because that every time the Lord speaks, whether it's in His Word, in your heart, through His Spirit, or through conviction, we make a choice. And we choose who we're going to serve that day. And basically the choice really boils down to, am I going to serve Him or serve me? Is it what I want to do or what He wants me to do? That's really the choice in its most simplistic terms. But He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose this day. He says, whether it's the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You know, are we going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell? Who are the Amorites today? Well, all those people that go against God, whoever they might be. And whether it's those gods or the gods of the Amorites, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a choice. He made a choice. And so are you. Every day. Every day we make the choice. Are we going to serve the gods that were out there? False gods. Gods that really have no power. Or are we going to serve the one true living God? Which love do you have? Which light do you have? Which Lord do you have? Which do you choose? Everybody makes a choice. Today, I'll give you an opportunity to make a choice. There might be someone here today, you may say, Brother Mike, I've never, you know, I've heard a lot of things, you know, I believe in God. There's people that believe in God, but they're not saved. They've never made a choice. They just believe. You understand that Satan believes in God? Satan knows there's a God. And he made his choice. But we can still make one. Here. And that choice is to choose to accept the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Just tell God, hey, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and God raised him from the dead. And I believe in that. And he is Lord. And God, will you save me? Will you forgive me and save me? And you know what? He will. And he'll fill you with his Spirit. He'll adopt you into his family. And he'll begin to change your life. That's truth, folks. And the reason I know it's true is because it happened to me. Changed my life. And I've seen it happen to a lot of other people since. For the rest of us, are you following with a single purpose? Or are you rowing a boat, going one direction and looking another? Everyone makes a choice. We can have praise team's going to come up, every head bowed, every eye closed. We're doing a little different today, but I still want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I recognize that I need salvation. I understand that I've never chosen to accept the free gift of salvation from God through Jesus Christ that it's offered. And I know I need to make that choice, and I'd like prayer about that. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, I have to be honest, sometimes I serve myself instead of God, and I'd like prayer about that. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm in that rowboat. I'm going one way, but I'm looking another. Anybody like that? Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you. I ask you, Lord, move on our hearts. Move on our hearts. That we would choose your ways. Be with these that raise their hand in a special way. Lord, I pray you would give them eyes to see, ears to hear, what you would have them change, what you would have them do. Father God, move on all of our hearts in a mighty way that your light would shine through us. That we would push ourselves out of the way so that you can work and move and really impact this world for Jesus. Father, help us to do this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the music just plays softly here, this is your time. If you got business, you know, if God has convicted your heart in something, do business with him now. He's speaking to you. Don't just hear him and do something else. Like the children of Israel. You know, they heard God and they still pursued their own ways. And he had to reprimand them and bring them back and conquer them and all those things. Make it easy on yourself. Just submit to him. Just serve him. Maybe there's some things he's brought to your mind that you need to give up. Maybe he's brought some things to your mind that you need to add to your life. Whatever it is he's doing in you right now, this is your time. Take advantage of it. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so grateful that you are the great mighty God. You are the Creator. You are the Lord. You are our Savior. You have done so much on our behalf. Father God, give us hearts that are soft towards you and your will and your way in our life, Father. Increase our faith that we would trust you for the things you tell us. And Father, move on our souls that we would make decisions that would please you. And Father God, we will give you the praise, the glory, all that you deserve, Lord, for what you have done in us and through us. Help us, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song. Here's a little departure from what we usually do. This song is called You Are God Alone. You alone are God. And you know what? A lot of times I think we have our God, but we kind of let other little gods kind of creep in our lives. And this song is just an affirmation that, you know what? He is God. He is the only one. There's other things that say they're gods, or that we may make them our gods, but they are not. They have tongues that don't speak. They have ears that don't hear. They have eyes that don't see. But there is the one true living God, and He alone is God. Sing, sing with us. does reign in your life each and every day. And when you slip, just ask Him to forgive you. He will. And you get up and you renew yourself and say, you know what? I'm going forward again. I'm not going to stay down. I will rise again. I pray you're encouraged. I think we need encouragement in this world today. And I pray that that encourages you. Just make Him your God. You can never go wrong with that. Make Him the one that rules in your life.